Hi, I'm Debbie Roberts, owner and financial advisor at Property Apprentice. In today's special episode, we're delving into a recent draft report on the Personal Banking Services Market Study from the Commerce Commission and some comments from the agency that has stirred both applause and contention within the financial sector. On June 20th, 2023, the Commerce Commission was tasked by the previous Labor government to conduct a 14-month study into the state of personal banking services in New Zealand to figure out whether or not competition among banks is benefiting consumers in the long term. In addition, it also looked into a range of topics such as the industry structure and the nature of competition in personal banking, conditions of market entry and expansion, particularly those that may affect disruptive firms, consumer behaviours and preferences, the extent to which consumers change their personal banking service providers, how easy or difficult it is to do that currently, and the tools available to help consumers make those decisions, any barriers to new or innovative banking products or services, business models or disruptive firms, including fintech providers, and indicators of bank financial performance, including profitability, and what, if anything, those indicators may imply about the levels of competition in personal banking. The end goal of this personal banking services market study was to identify key weaknesses in the current financial system and provide solutions to improve them. One of the findings from the draft report, which was released on the 21st of March this year, is the lack of competition in the banking sector. Commerce Commission Chair John Small said that the four major banks, that's ANZ, ASB, BNZ and Westpac, focused more on price matching strategies, which resulted in very stable market shares. For him, this was not ideal, as he sees competitive pressure as a means to promote the welfare of consumers. In my opinion, when banks compete for business, this often leads to lower costs and fees, better services, higher quality products, and increased access to financial services. This is good for customers, especially for those who are marginalised or underserved in our communities. To address this lack of competition, the report recommended lowering the entry barrier for those seeking to compete with major banks. ComCom blamed legislation such as the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act, the CCCFA, and the Anti-Money Laundering and Countering Finance of Terrorism Act, which was the AML-CFT Act, for hampering competition. Non-bank lenders were also pleased to know that the study acknowledged their crucial role in providing competitive pressure in the market. The Financial Services Federation, which represents 97 non-banks, is hoping that the study would recommend a level playing field for regulation between banks and non-banks. Another proposal from the draft report involved empowering consumers. Some of the steps outlined under this point included, number one, creating an enhanced switching service with appropriate government oversight. Number two, requesting home loan providers to present offers in a readily comparable manner. And number three, prorating mortgage lenders' clawbacks for broker commissions and cash incentives. And number four, the FMA to produce guidance and monitor mortgage advisors' compliance with their duties under the Financial Markets Conduct Act. And five, reducing barriers to lending on Māori freehold land. These steps are all well and good, but the commentary by Commerce Commission Chair John Small following the announcement did not sit well with many advisors. He made a major mistake by referring to mortgage advisors as brokers when they're now legally referred to as financial advisors and must have passed Level 5 of the New Zealand Certificate in Financial Services before they can work as a mortgage advisor. Small told journalists that while he didn't believe mortgage advisors were ignoring customers' needs, he expressed concern about inadequate disclosure of the conflicts of interest they face. He also said he's not sure if advisors who work through an aggregator platform disclose the amount of money they can get from different banks and inform clients which banks they have access to. A number of mortgage advisors got upset by this and explained that legislation already mandates that they disclose commissions and the banks that they can work with, and that there's very little difference between lenders and how much commission they pay. The disclosure statements that mortgage advisors use already include all of the banks that they work with, and the fees that they receive from each bank are clearly written and provided at the start of the advice process to the client and at the end of the advice process as well. So there's full disclosure with exactly how much the mortgage advisor is going to get paid by the lenders for the work that they provided, which means, obviously, since they're paid by the provider, they don't charge the clients a fee for their services. Other advisors doubled down on their stance that the mortgage advice sector is built on integrity, trust, and good relationships. The process of selecting the right loan product, after all, requires taking into account as many parameters as possible to achieve a positive outcome for the consumer. My thoughts on this: the entire financial advice industry has undergone massive regulatory changes over the past few years, requiring all advisors to upskill and obtain new qualifications. Mortgage advisors are already subject to oversight by the Financial Markets Authority, which means that they undergo thorough training and following the agency's prescribed protocols. This is just something to keep in mind for anyone who has apprehension about getting mortgage advice after hearing negative rhetoric like this from the Commerce Commission. Judging from the amount of pushback over the statements made by the Commerce Commission chair, it goes to show that mortgage advisors aren't the unscrupulous individuals they were painted to be, as they promptly reacted to set the record straight. Speaking as a fellow advisor, our success hinges on honesty and fairness. And for a government body representative to release false information that could potentially tarnish the reputation of a profession, it's extremely disappointing, to say the least. Apart from the inaccuracies mentioned, it's also unfair to downplay the many good things that mortgage advisors have done for customers. Many first-home buyers and investors have benefited from working with mortgage advisors because they not only help save time, but also have the expertise to provide mortgage products tailored to a client's situation. Many customers have been with their mortgage advisors for years, since they often provide ongoing support beyond the initial mortgage application. It is pleasing to note that the Commerce Commission has responded to the mortgage advisor community and is encouraging open lines of communication. That's a great start, although it probably would have been better if this happened before the release of the draft support. Am I right? Some final thoughts. The Commerce Commission needs to have a better understanding of the role that mortgage advisors play in providing increased competition amongst lenders for the benefit of the end consumer. This is an opportunity that shows that mortgage advisors have a united front and always have their customers' best interests in mind. Recommend that accurate information about mortgage advice and advisors be made more accessible to the public to prevent misinformation like this. One example that I can think of just off the top of my head is that with the change in regulations, we're all called financial advisors now, and there's different qualifications within that large umbrella. So for example, a financial advisor who's got the residential lending strand, they're a mortgage advisor, but if they don't have the insurance strand, they can't give insurance advice. And if they don't have the investment strand, they can't give the investment advice. So, and vice versa, you know, an insurance advisor can't give mortgage advice without that res lending strand. So, you know, there's basically three different types of financial advisors. And in fact, even in the insurance industry, there's two different types, one that does fire in general and the other one that does life and health insurance, for example. Working with a mortgage advisor gives the consumers access to a professional who can recommend the best lender for their specific requirements, whereas a consumer that deals directly with a lender is only going to get advice about that specific lender's products. In other words, working with a mortgage advisor can save you time, money, because it doesn't cost you anything to work with a mortgage advisor in most situations, and certainly save you some stress. And it also increases competition between the lenders. Remember, working with a mortgage advisor costs you, the consumer, nothing in the majority of cases. The mortgage advisor works for you, not directly for the banks or non-bank lenders, because they've got access to a wide range of different lenders. And if there is going to be a charge because of a specific situation, you would be informed upfront by the mortgage advisor So fear not. Thanks for listening.